Welcome to History Here and Now. I'm Thomas Richardson, the voice inside your podcast machine, and today is a great day to learn about history. The HHN podcast is dedicated to bringing you great stories from the past. Here we talk about people, places, events, culture, and practically every other facet involved with history. Does it sound complicated? Well, history is just that, complicated. But it doesn't have to be. I'm here to help break things down and make history more fun and relatable. So let's get started. So today's episode is going to be a slightly different than just telling about, you know, a person or a place or some other cool thing that happened, you know, many years ago. But this is going to talk about a certain law that has actually helped many researchers and historians and journalists and almost everything else you can think of, someone who always has an inquisitive mind, a piece of legislation that has changed the way we interact with our government, and that is the Freedom of Information Act. So the right to understand what transpires in our government is essential to democratic principles. Voting citizens recognize that their elected representatives, government appointees, and various programs produce an enormous quantity of records and other information. All of that said information is categorized under strict laws affording it protection for national security or commercial reasons. However, releasable information can still provide insight on how public servants work to make the government more transparent. We always want to be our government's transparent, don't we? I mean, we sort of want to know, you know, what is generally going on, and this law kind of helps us with that. Inherent with the right to vote is the right to know what happens inside an agency or a department and everything that's contained therein. And so this is the basis for one of the most significant pieces of legislation created in the last 60 years. Like I said, the Freedom of Information Act, or if you want to prefer shorthand, FOIA. So FOIA allows people to request specific information regarding agency operations, records, and of course, government transparency. The Act also establishes specific criteria for determining a record's eligibility for public release pending a review process. Now, I know this all sort of sounds pretty tedious and boring, and oh my gosh, this person is just droning on about government things. But no, actually, this is a lot more wide-reaching than you'd think. And here's why. So the lifespan and accessibility of records changes between agencies and people, and each have their own criteria in addition to basic FOIA requirements. What can be released to the public and what can't? What can people read but not read? So what is the government willing to share and what does it have to keep close to the chest? And so all this is done to guard against the release of any sensitive personal national security information. I mean, you wouldn't want just any government agency giving out your information, although, you know, any foreign entity could probably hack that anyway, but the Act is also used to describe opening up the government by letting the public see how it operates. A famous court case of Fielding F. McGehee versus CIA, the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals wrote in its closing statement that having an informed voter is essential to a functioning democracy. Quote, "It has often been observed that the central purpose of FOIA is to open up the workings of government to public scrutiny. One of the premises of that objective is the belief that an informed electorate is vital to the proper operation of a democracy. A more specific goal implicit in the foregoing principles is to give citizens access to the information on the basis of which government agencies make their decisions, thereby equipping the populace to evaluate and criticize those decisions." End quote. So how did this whole thing get started? Well, let's wind the clock back to the late 1950s. U.S. Representative John E. Moss, a Democrat from California, led the charge for implementing FOIA and the restructuring of information security levels. He made it his congressional career to passing FOIA and signing it into law, and he would ultimately spend 12 years garnering support and shepherding it through all the different committees. And if any of you know how anything Congress acts, it's almost amazing that they were able to accomplish anything in that time frame. In the late 1950s, government classification of documents was being mishandled, and accidental leaks were problematic. I mean, we think about leaks today, you know, like, in context of WikiLeaks or, you know, some congressional staffer or someone at the Pentagon accidentally sending out the wrong information. This was happening literally on a daily basis back in the 1950s. And this was the Cold War. You didn't want this stuff getting out to the Soviets. So Representative Chairman Representative Moss chaired the Government Information Subcommittee and took it upon himself to upgrade security classifications and draft rules on accessibility. And of course, on an appropriate day of all days for the signing, on July 4th, 1966, a somewhat hesitant President Lyndon Johnson signed the bill into law. Now, Johnson recognized the need for the law, but he gave additional measure to protecting military interests and allowing government officials to discuss things frankly without having to mince their words and actions with the overarching specter of public investigation constantly overheard. I mean, if you wanted to talk frankly with someone, most public, wouldn't want to, may or may not want to hear, the lesser goings-ons of what's happening behind closed doors in an office in the Capitol building. But the law was initially repealed following a revision of Title V in the U.S. Code. But a new version eventually came out later and was drafted and signed and given an effective date on July 4th, 1967, just 1 year later. But the story definitely does not end there. Since 1967, FOIA underwent numerous revisions and amendments, strengthening, limiting, and reclassifying information security. And of course, as more trends come in and more trends go out, the most impactful occurs with increasing scrutiny on national security and the war on terror. Back in the 1970s, there was a great push on the war on drugs and other classifications that still change to this day. Today, there are 9 exemptions when a person files a FOIA request. Now, the way it works is that anyone can put in a FOIA request for the government as long as they meet specific criteria, but there are absolutely things that they cannot get, and these are these 9 exemptions. National security and foreign policy classified by an executive order. Well, that seems pretty obvious. I can't give you this information because I don't really trust you with it because it may damage our operations overseas. Internal personnel or rules of an agency. And 3, specifically exempted from disclosure. Unless it specifically says this cannot be released from FOIA, then there's really nothing else they can do from it. Trade secrets and commercial and financial information. Well, that seems pretty straightforward. I mean, you don't want certain secrets or patents getting out so that other people can reverse engineer them. I'm looking at you, Obadiah Stane, from Iron Man. Interagent memorandums are not subject to litigation. Well, memos already sound pretty boring. Personnel medical files are government employees. Yeah, I mean, I don't want anyone looking at my personnel or medical file. I don't even trust my own, hospital or doctor with that information. Besides, anyone can hack it anyway. Records relating to ongoing law enforcement and federal investigations. Yes, you definitely don't want to compromise that. Supervising agencies on financial institutions. Well, we got to make sure they're always being watched. And geological information relating to wells and water tables. So I never really understood the purpose of that one. I mean, I can understand the previous 8, but I mean, what does my well have to do anything with FOIA and release information? Well, anyway, that's 9. Agency employees still have to be conscious of what's in a document that's being requested under FOIA rules. So government employees still have to go through redactions. They still have to go through every single page that they can release and redact things that may contain personal information. And this can sometimes cause great confusion because the general public sometimes assumes that a FOIA request means they can ask for anything unredacted. No, you can't do that. That is incorrect. FOIA requests generally take around 20 to 30 days to process depending on agencies, and even then, FOIA officials or subject matter experts still review the packets before they go to the requester. Just like everything else, there are layers upon layers of bureaucracy and quality assurance. They're sometimes called government information specialists. This screening process can cause frustration as the included information becomes more complex. Rarely do federal agencies even meet this 20 to 30 day deadline because of the steps involved to release the public and redact private information. So now, while the FOIA request process is not a perfect one, the legislation itself is still remarkably important because it helps us maintain a transparent government that allows people to ask questions about its function and its policies. We should always be an informed electorate, and that is a powerful tool in a representative and democratic government. if people aren't informed, they don't know what to vote on. And if they don't know what to vote on, they don't know who to vote for to put them in office and then vote on their behalf. That's why the Freedom of Information Act is the best legislative tool to be in the know. History Here and Now is a website dedicated to the research and writing about different historical topics. If you like this podcast, hit the like button, share it on social media, recommend it to your friends, family, colleagues, mortal enemies, anyone you think would enjoy hearing a history discussion. You can follow HHN on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check back every week for the next episode. Until then, good luck on this crazy ride called life. Thank you.